Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time podcast. This is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me this week again is senior staff writer Ryan Whitfield. And we've got some quick-hitting questions for you about the Week 8 of the NFL and all of the news that occurred during the weekend. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Not too bad. So you had a chance to sit back and really just enjoy the NFL from afar, since your Patriots were done on Thursday this time, and after they completely dismantled the Miami Dolphins. You must have felt pretty good about that.
As always, and always nice putting the AFC East back in their place.
Well, I didn't think the AFC East was going anywhere anyway, but it was pretty revealing as to how good Miami really was. So, ready to get started?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's get started first with the Giants and the Saints. So this weekend we saw a massive shootout as the New York Giants lost to the New Orleans Saints at the very last second on a 50-yard field goal, 52-49, an NFL record, 101 total points scored. So tell me, Ryan, did we learn anything from this Giants v. Saints shootout about the Giants and the Saints, or do we just assume that the defenses are just bad?
Yeah, you learned that the Giants are never a team you can trust. I've made the mistake probably three different times this season that every time I start to buy in, they go right back to showing all their flaws. And as far as the Saints, I guess, you know, conversely, we had a conversation a couple weeks ago about counting them out, and I guess you just, in the down year in the NFL with Drew Brees at quarterback, with all those weapons inside the dome, you can't count them out, so.
Well, those are good points. And I actually, what I found from the Giants was that the defensive secondary there is a complete mess. Eli Manning, you know, he has potential to do damage, but they have little hope if they don't fix that secondary. It's a good thing they're in a terrible NFC East, whereas 4-4 is still the best record in the division. That's incredibly sad. And for the Saints, what it showed me was that the offense really needs a move tight end to win. Ben Watson appears to be the answer. As we saw, he broke out over the last three games, and what happened? The Saints won those three games. Prior to that, they were 1-4. He has the third most receiving yards for the Saints this year, and that's only 60 yards off the Brandon Cooks at first. So basically, he was only part of the offense for three games and managed to handle that. So I really think they need to move tight end, and they found their guy. The Saints are probably on the upswing. Any final thoughts on the Saints v. Giants game?
Yeah, I agree, and I think the emergence of Brandon Cooks, and then just the continued growth of Willie Snead, which is one of the biggest stories of the NFL this season, is how some he's come out of nowhere. But yeah, I agree with everything you said other than that.
Okay, so that brings us to the next question, and that's with the San Francisco 49ers. News coming out of San Francisco that Colin Kaepernick has been benched for Blaine Gabbert. So tell me, Ryan, what do you think about that? Was that the right decision?
I think it's the right decision. The best thing I heard about this weekend, you know, a local sportscaster out here said that it's clear that Tom Sula is trying to build a culture and send a message, but he seems to be the only person unaware that his tenure is going to last maybe another season, because he is the definition of a non-official interim coach. So.
Right. I totally agree with that. And I think that this also is the right idea. I think it was kind of in the making from the beginning, because Jim Harbaugh is no longer there. He was instrumental in drafting Kaepernick. He is instrumental in unfairly benching Alex Smith for Kaepernick. Now Harbaugh is back in college. So I think it's in the cards. I think GM Trent Baalke wanted to move on from the Harbaugh administration for a long time. They're doing that. No Frank Gore. Vernon Davis traded the Broncos, now Cap on the bench. I think that's basically the end of that. I think it was fairly treated. Kaepernick had only 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He had the 28th rated passer rating in the NFL at 78.8. That's pretty terrible. They're 2-6. They're basically out of it. I hate to say it, but let's see what they got in Blaine Gabbert and move on. Any final thoughts on the 49ers?
The biggest surprise is that at the deadline today, we didn't see Kaepernick swapped out for Sam Bradford, because I thought that Chip Kelly would be over there foaming at the mouth at another chance at another mobile quarterback, considering Bradford's not really working out so far.
That's an excellent point. That's a good point. I wish they had done that. I think he could be successful there, or at least he can be in a pile of another more worthless quarterbacks in Philadelphia. So let's move on to the next question. Can the Steelers now be successful without poor Le'Veon Bell? After being suspended for the first two games, he comes back as effective and gets Big Ben back in the lineup for the first time, and unfortunately he has a torn, I believe, MCL. And that puts him out for the rest of the season, leaving them with just D'Angelo Williams and others. What do you think? Can the Steelers be successful without Le'Veon Bell?
No. And I don't think it's a Le'Veon Bell issue as much as it is more of a how much can one team go through. That defense has been surprisingly good this year, and they've managed to weather the storm. I think you could tell last week that Ben Roethlisberger is not even close to 100%, and they should have been one of the best teams in the AFC this year. It just wasn't in the cards, nothing that they did. And you know, with the Raiders coming on and playing well, which everyone's jumping on me and your bandwagon because we've been talking about that since week three, that team in Oakland is better than people are giving it credit. And I see them as a second wild card at best. And I just see the AFC as a two horse race now between the Broncos and the Pats. So they can make the playoffs, sure, but they're not going to be successful by the standards I think that they had going into the season.
Yeah, you know, I think I have to disagree a little bit because I think that they can be successful. I do agree that there is some problems on defense that they don't fix. They're not going to be able to sustain winning any games. I think that at the beginning of the year, though, D'Angelo Williams was particularly effective, not effective enough to beat your Pats, but certainly effective enough to win games. I think Big Ben will shake off the rust and get better, and they'll get back on track. But ultimately, it really comes down to what you mean by success. And I think ultimately they're not going to be able to move on into the playoffs. Any final thoughts on the Steelers and their future?
Yeah, I think we're coming to the same point, just taking a different route. I think that it's not that D'Angelo Williams can't be successful. We saw that opening night. My Pats sure as hell did. But it's just at the end of the day, it just seems like you talk about teams of destiny. This is the team of non-destiny. You know, everything that can go wrong is going wrong, and it keeps going wrong. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, so let's move on to our next topic, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. What's wrong in Indy after getting beat by Carolina in overtime? Are they just done? I mean, they are in bad shape now at 3-5. What do you think? The Colts, are they going to make a comeback, or are they pretty much thrown in the towel?
They may win the AFC East, the AFC South at 6-10 this year, but they are so bad. It's from the top down, from their owner who can't stop popping pills and walking around with duffel bags full of money, to their GM who doesn't understand that if you can't ever build an offensive line or defensive front seven, even as overrated as it is in the NFL these days, you can't compete if you have nobody there. And when you go and get a pass rusher who you traded a draft pick for, who has – I missed the stats in the last night. I did actually. I'll admit, went to bed early. But going into last night, Trent Cole had zero sacks. And then you have horrible play calling on both sides of the ball. Chuck Pagano just keeps making excuse after excuse for them. That thing's a mess. That team is done for the year.
Yeah, you know, I'm sad to say that I think they are done for the year, but they will win the AFC South anyway. I agree with that. They might actually win with a 6-10 record because the rest of the AFC South is so terrible. I really think the problem, though, is Andrew Luck's confidence has just gone right through the toilet. I mean, he does not take good care of the ball. You see him holding onto the ball way too long. He's going through his progressions, but he's not picking receivers at the right time. He's overthrowing, underthrowing. He missed a wide open Andre Johnson. He missed the wide open Dante Moncrief. He started trying to force things into T.Y. Hilton. The double coverage. He just doesn't look like he's taking good care of the ball, and that's going to be a problem. If he doesn't improve, they're not going to improve. Their defense is not good enough to keep him in games, so I totally agree with that. Any last thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, just that, you know, I think Luck's the least of their problems. I think it's hard to have any confidence when your team's putting you under center, having you run seven-step dropbacks, facing seven-man rushes and not adjusting at all. And, you know, I'm pretty irritated with the Colts because had they done anything to put the Tennessee Titans a little bit more in the rearview mirror, Jason McCourty might be a Patriot right now. But
right. Of course, it's always back to the Pats of you, isn't it? It's always back to the Pats.
Always.
All right. So let's go on to the next question, and that's Steve Smith. Oh, what a terrible, terrible torn Achilles injury this weekend, out for the remainder of the 2016 season, for the 2015 season, maybe out for the rest of his career, because he had said prior to the beginning of the year that this was going to be his last season. So what do you think? After the torn Achilles, do you think he should come back, or do you think he should just retire?
Let me preface this with that I love Steve Smith. And we'll bring it back to the Patriots again. Aside from his little tussle and ice up sun episode with Aqib Talib a couple years ago, I've always loved the guy. But I think this might be a little bit of karma, and that might sound harsh to everybody. But you know, I get that he's a prideful guy. He's a guy who plays the game on principle and on honor and all that. But when the trade rumors were coming out, he did not want a Super Bowl. His hand should have been up. He should have said, "Get me the heck out of here." We started something here. Well, you weren't going to finish it, Steve. So I hope he comes back next year, but I just hope it's not with Baltimore. And I hope that he could actually go out and win one on his way out, because he's one of those consummate pros you just want to see get one ring before he's done.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really like Steve Smith a lot, too, and I think he should come back and find out if he can get a ring someplace. I unfortunately think, though, that if he does come back, it will be Baltimore. I mean, he likes it there. He fits that system. Flacco trusts him. He actually had quite a bit of a breakout coming to Baltimore, and I think that ultimately, if he does come back, he'll end up in Baltimore, and they don't have any other receivers. All the rest of the receivers are basically terrible or injured. So I think that unfortunately, he will come back there. I don't think they'll be successful with him. It's a shame. One place I think he will be is Canton, Ohio. I think he's going to become a Hall of Famer, and that's in the cards for him. So either way, coming back or not, I'd love to see him play, but ultimately I don't think he's going to be able to come back and be successful and get a ring for himself. Any last thoughts on Steve Smith before we move on?
Yeah, if he wants to come back and he wants to win a ring and he wants to play that tough, hard-nosed style of football, he should take a veteran minimum contract and go a little bit north and check out Pittsburgh next year.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be really interesting. I would like to see that too. So let's go ahead and move on to our next question, and that's division champs, and this is actually going to be in play this year, I think, that have terrible losing records. Should division champs get home field advantage even with a 7-9 record at the end of the year? So what do you think, Ryan?
Well, I think it's so unfair. You know, you got all these teams in your division, and they all have different salary caps, and you don't get to play them that much. So it's not like you have an equal chance to win your division, and that the teams that, you know, lose their division and go 11-5 and don't make the playoffs don't really have a fair shot to make the. Oh wait, no, you do. That's how you build your team. You build your team to beat your division. And I'm so sick of people whining about this and fighting this. You know what? It does stink to watch a 7-9 team go to a postseason, unless they upset the Saints. And, you know, and go on a nice run. The Panthers
Seahawks,
did it last year.
Yeah,
and the Panthers did it last year, winning that game and going up to Seattle after that. And, you know, it's good for the league, because you're going to have some teams that miss out, and that's why you have to win your division. And that's why it's so much fun to watch Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. That's why it's fun to watch the Patriots versus the Jets. You know, those games matter more. That's why it's fun even early in the year when they suck. Usually your Chicago Bears, it's still fun to watch them host the Packers, because it means so much more than outer games. And you know,
I totally agree, and I actually, you know, I like it, because quite frankly, I'm sick of the sports in which you lose one or two or three, and if you don't have a winning record, you're done. I mean, you're right. You tune your team to beat your division. That's the way that the NFL is built, and you shouldn't be penalized for that. If you do it, if you can get it done, you get it done. I mean, it was exciting to see Seattle there. I don't really love Seattle, but it was exciting to see Seattle there when they were 7-9, and I think that's it's something that if you earn it, you earn it. I mean, you beat the rest of the people in your division. Any final thoughts on the division 7-9 division champs getting home field advantage?
I'll just say, well said on that by you as well. It's just, you know, you have a chance. You play that team six times, or the teams in your division six times a year. You know, that's what you got to do first. You got to beat your division, and then you try to win the conference. So it's just
all right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And we've run out of time. So Ryan, give us your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
@ Ryan Whitfield NE.
All right, and follow us at FB Garbage Time, and that's all the time we have for this week, so we will see you again next week. Until then, enjoy the rest of the NFL week.